Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
To a new way, you'll leave this strength and a new direction. For I'll restore years, and I'll restore health, and I'll restore joy. For this is a day of great restoration, and I'll restore the gifts of the Spirit, and they shall increase, and they shall multiply. For times of refreshing shall come from my presence, saith the Lord, and it shall fall like rain. So now I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, that it shall rain, it shall rain, and I will pour out my Spirit, saith the Lord. So receive it and declare it and say it's not so far away, but it's here right now, today. Ha, ha, ha. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. Praise you, Lord. Praise you. Praise you, mighty Jesus. Mighty Yeshua. Thank you, Lord. Well, shalom, shalom, my brother and my sister. Welcome to the Lord's Hour. This is your host, brother in Christ, brother Elvi Sapara. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We are thankful of the Lord for the opportunity he gave us to share his word with his people. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jesus is coming. Hallelujah. We're sharing another Bible study tonight. Thank you, Lord. God willing. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Yeshua. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We are so, hallelujah, grateful. Grateful, grateful for the opportunity to share his word, his Bible. We are in the last day. We are living the last of the last before the return of Jesus, my brother and sister. Amen. Before the last trumpet, before the trumpet sound, we are living the last of the last. Amen. Shalom, Brother Joseph and Brother Strada. Shalom. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Yeshua. Praise you, Jehoshua. Amen. I want to go into this Bible study because I know a lot of people will later on can go on and listen to it. Amen. Isaiah 26:20. Come, my people, enter into thy chamber and shut thy door about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation pass. Thank you, Lord. I want to talk to you tonight about the indignation in the chamber that we are about to go in, the bride of Christ, which is so biblical, my brother and sister, from the beginning of the Bible. Hallelujah. The high priest's chamber in the Bible, in which they will go in to change an indication of a holy place, my brother and sister, that it was specifically for them to go and change. Okay, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And there's so many verses in the Bible about the chamber. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. But specifically, the bride of Christ is going to enter into the chamber of heaven soon, and the departure rapture of the bride of Christ, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Son of Solomon 1:4 says, drop me, we will run after thee. This is the church running after the Lord. The king have brought me into his chamber, and we will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine, upright love thee. Amen. God wants us to be heavenly minded, that we are already planning to be going home. We are already planning to be in with the Lord, my brother and sister. And God, through the prophet Jeremiah, remind his people of the importance of coming into the chamber and for what reason, my brother and sister. Down on this earth, we can only see the Lord through what he made. He revealed himself to us through creation. But then the Bible said we will see him face to face when we enter into that chamber with the Lord into the wedding celebration. We're going to see Jesus face to face. My brother insisted. Praise the Lord. It's going to be a special moment for the bride of Christ. In Jeremiah 36, verse 10 and on says, read the Baruch in the book of the word of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord, the chamber of Jeremiah, the son of Shaphar, the scribe in the higher court of the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house, in the ears of all the people. When Micaiah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Shaphar, had heard out of the book all the word of the Lord, then he went into the king's house, into the scribe chamber, and lo, all the princes sat there, even the Elishama scribe, the Lilai, the son of Shammiah, Enadon, the son of Anor, Ebor, Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, Sadakiah, the son of Hananiah, and all the princes. What did this mean? The chamber that you and I are going to enter in heaven are very special. And as for those chosen of the Lord, those close to God, because princes are close to the king, it's a special place that God has given the bride of Christ, that one that has made herself ready, that is spotless without wrinkle, without anything, without any contamination, when David repentance, my brother and sister. Verse 13, Micaiah declared unto all them all the word that he had heard. When Baruch read the book of the ears of the people, therefore all the princes of Judahim and the son of Micaiah, the son of Shalemiah, the son of Cushi, and to Baruch, saying, take thy into thy hand the scroll where thou hast read and of the ear of the people, and come to Baruch, the son of Neriah, took the scroll in his hand and came to them. Then they said unto him, sit down now and read it in our ears. So Baruch read it in their ears. And it came to pass that when they had heard all the word, they were afraid both one and other, and said unto Baruch, we will surely tell the king of all these words. And they asked Baruch, saying, tell us now, how did thou write all these words from his mouth? Baruch answered them, he pronounced these words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them with an ink in the book. Okay? Then said the princes to Baruch, go hide thee, thou, and Jeremiah let no man know where ye be. Praise the Lord. Another type of the rapture. The rapture is where we are going to be hided in heaven by God, because the indignation, what the Bible calls the great tribulation, the indignation is what is coming for 7 years, great tribulation, great indignation upon the earth. I'm reading to you about the chambers in heaven that the bride of Christ, when they go home with Jesus, is going to enter this chamber. As the Lord said through the prophet Isaiah, come, my people, enter into thy chamber, shut thy door about thee, hide thyself, as it were for a little moment, until the indignation be past, my brother and sister. This is when God is so angry at humanity because of the sin and trespasses that he's going to release judgment upon the earth for 7 years. Great indignation, great tribulation, my brother and sister. It's going to be terrible down here. But God wants us to be looking forward to the coming of his son, Jesus. That's what he wants us to be looking forward, my brother and sister, because Jesus is coming for his bride as he promised us. It was said in Matthew 24 that in the midnight hour, they heard a loud noise, a loud trumpet. Okay? The bridegroom coming. The bridegroom cometh. Hallelujah. And all the virgins arose. They all arose. They all heard the trumpet. They all heard the shofar. They got up in the middle of the night. Type up the situation the world finds itself right now. Middle of the night, my brother and sister, it is the darkest The darker time in humanity is right now, where Jesus is about to return for his bride, my brother and sister. So the bride got up and trimmed her lamp, and the foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil before our lamps run out. They just now find out that all the time wasted, not wisely lived for God. Shalom, Brother Benjamin. Now, shalom, Sister Luna. Now, they wanted to be ready for the rapture departure, to be going home, my brother and sister. Repentance, hallelujah, is where we God brings us in position to repentance in order for us to receive. Repenting is humbling ourselves. When you pray, when you repent, you humble yourself. You're seeking for the help of the Lord. That's what we do in repentance. My brother and sister, we're talking about the chamber tonight and the indignation. We first started with the chamber, then later we're going to the indignation, so we can get a broader view of what it means to, what's the significance of the chamber. It's a place in heaven, a protection for the bride. We go to heaven, we go for this temporary place, the rapture departure of the bride is to go into the chamber. But the chamber is a special place. It's a place where the high priest will go in to change, my brother and sister, the garment, the special garment. The bride is going into heaven to wear special garment, special dress. Why? For the wedding celebration, my brother and sister. Look what Solomon and Son of Solomon 1:4 said, draw me, we will run after thee. This is us. The king hath brought me into his chamber. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine, and the upright love thee. Okay? The upright love thee. The righteous love thee. The church will love thee. The church will be in love with thee. Praise to Jesus. We are so close to the rapture, my brother and sister. So close. Amen, that we need to bring these studies about the chamber, okay? So when it was asked to Baruch, where did he hear the word, hallelujah, they asked Baruch, saying, tell us, in Jeremiah, how did thou write all these words from his mouth? Baruch answered them, he pronounced all these words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them in ink in a book, which is the translation from a scroll. I wrote it in a scroll. In the original Hebrew. Then said the princes unto Baruch, go hide thee, thou and Jeremiah, and let no man know where ye be, exactly where the church is going to be. No man on this earth, carnal, will know where the church will be, for the simple fact that they have not believed in the rapture. Jesus said to me one time, if you don't believe my rapture is biblical, he says, and if you don't believe in my rapture, I cannot take you home with me. Very important we believe in the rapture, the departure of the bride of Christ, my brother and sister. Verse 20, they went into the king into the court, and they laid out the scroll of the chamber of Elishama, the scribe, and told all these words of the year of the king. So the king sent Jeroboam to fetch the scroll. He took it out of Elishama, the scribe's chamber. Jeroboam read of the year of the king, in the year of all the princes who stood besides the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the 9 months, and there was fire on the heart burning before him. This is what the bride is going to experience when the bride goes into the chamber very soon with the Lord. After they meet the Lord in the cloud, and therefore there, says the Bible, we will be with the Lord. When we hear the word coming out of Jesus in heaven, my brother and sister, this is what we're going to experience. Now, the king sat in the winter house in the 9 months, and there was fire on the high burning before him. You're going to experience fire, hallelujah, from the king upon your life. You will be burning like him in a special way. Thank you, Jesus. It's going to be special, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. special. Hallelujah. And it came to pass that when Rahab read the 3 and 4 leaves, he cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the heart until the scroll was consumed with fire that was on the heart. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And yet they were not afraid nor rent their garment, neither the king or any other servant who heard all these words. In other words, when you hear the word coming out of the mouth of Jesus, you are going to see his pure cleansing fire coming out of his heart, bride. You're going to experience it. This is what the rapture blessing is. You're going to experience the Lord one and one. Okay? This is going to be the part that we are going to love, experiencing him one of one, my brother and sister. And this is how the Lord wants us to experience him. Hallelujah. One and one. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. It's going to be special. Hallelujah. And Jeremiah 22:14-30, Dan said, I will build me a white house and light chamber, cut him out of the window and seal it in the cedar, painted with vermilion, that the rain, because thou hast clothed thyself in cedar, and did not thy father eat and drink and do judgment, justice, thou will be with him. So as they, hallelujah, they obey God, it was in justice and judgment. God cleansing them and doing the right thing. Verse 16, now listen to this. He judges the cause of the poor and needy. Then it will a well with him. Was not this to know me, saith the Lord? Listen careful to this word. And I'm sorting on my reading somehow. Lord, please, Lord, clear my speech, Lord Jesus. Lord, help me to read better, Lord. Please, Lord Jesus. Give me strength on my speech, Lord, that I can read better tonight, Lord Jesus. Look what the Lord says to them. My brother and sister, hallelujah. He judges the cause of the poor and needy. Then it was well with him. Every time the Lord is involved in our lives to help us, okay, even though he is judging, he is the one working in us. Because judgment began first with the house of the Lord, the Bible says. It is us that he cleansed first. He corrects first. Okay? Thy rod, hallelujah, the rod, remember the rod, Psalm 23? Hallelujah. The rod is there to correct us. But David in obedience said, that the rod, hallelujah, comfort him. And so what David is saying, God, you whip me. You whip me. But I was also comfort. I felt it being comfort. I didn't feel no pain, Lord. But I felt it comfort, Lord. It comfort me, he says. How many of us can say that? That in the discipline of the Lord, we felt the comfort. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. So David said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I understand the staff comforting you. But the rod, the rod, if you look it up, if you look up the rod in the rod is for the back of the wicked, the Bible says. So it's the tool of discipline. It's like the bell. What did our parents use the bell to discipline us? That's what the rod is. And so the staff is to pull us out of falling. You fall, he uses the staff and push you out. That's what they used to start to put the sheep out of the dirt. When the sheep will fall, they will pull it out because it has a hook, but not the rod. The rod, if the sheep continue to go the wrong way, the wrong direction, the rod was to whip the sheep to keep the sheep straight. That's basically, that's what that is for, my brother and sister. And David said they come for him. They come for him. And obedience is a comfort. And disobedience, it can be painful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So he judges the cause of the poor and the needy. And then, well, it was well with him. Was not this to know me, saith the Lord? You notice how he is, hallelujah, working in our life in such a way that no discipline in the present time seems to be good, the Bible says, seems to be pleasant. But look at the purpose of the Lord in disciplining us, okay, judging the cause of the needy, that it will be well with him, to save him, to bring him to heaven, salvation, my brother and sister. But the main purpose was not this to know me, saith the Lord, for you to get to know God. How do we get to know him? We submit to his discipline. We submit to his will, my brother and sister. He judges the cause of the poor and needy. He judges the cause, my brother and sister. He works in our life to reveal himself to our life, to prepare us to reveal himself to our lives, for us to get to know him. Isn't that awesome? Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. My brother and sister, God loves us. His love, it's hallelujah. Hallelujah. The agape love is the most powerful thing that you and I can experience on this earth. It doesn't feel that way now, but it is. Now, we're going to go to Nehemiah. We're going to go into the indignation. Okay, I believe I have a few more verses. Hallelujah. But I want to go into the indignation, okay? Because the indignation is what the nation, indignation, if you're there by the word, you see, it is God turning away from the nation, but mostly it's disciplining the nation. Discipline the nation, my brother and sister. Although the great tribulation seems the worst time on the earth, which it will feel like that, it will be like that, still God wants to save people out of it. He said he will save Jacob out of his tribulation. So his main plan for the great tribulation is to save people, because people that will end up in the great tribulation get to the level where God has to do something now special, if we may say it that way, to save them. What do I mean? My brother and sister, look at people being vaccinated. They're getting themselves into a position now, like in the time of Ezekiel, of dead bones, dead people, dead walking. Okay? And now it's different. Was it the will of God, my brother and sister, for them to find themselves there? No. Because he told them to seek him first. Seek the kingdom of heaven first. And every other thing will be added unto them. My brother and sister. Jonah was sent to Nineveh. But in his disobedience, he went to Tarsus, my brother and sister. God raised a great fish to swallow Jonah. And it did swallow his body. But out of the belly of hell, Jonah cried. That means his body died. Was it the will of God for Jonah to find himself in that position? No. God sent him straight to Nineveh. There was boat going to Tarsus, and there was boat going to Nineveh. He took the boat that was going to Tarsus, my brother and sister. He went in the way of disobedience. And this is what this earth had done, or the people on this earth. They had taken the boat to Tarsus. and a great fish called the coronavirus by sin has swallowed them and killed them spiritually. And out of the hell belly, they're going to have to cry out to God now. Sincere cry, my brother and sister. Who got them there? The church? No, themselves. Themselves. And it's going to take now them and God. They're going to have to cry out like Jonah. Jonah cry out. If you want to read it, Jonah, I believe it's chapter 3. He cry out. He cry out. And I don't mind reading it just to my brother and sister, to show people what it's going to take for those, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. That not listen to the Lord. Because that's been a mistake. Hallelujah. Those that have refused to listen, hang on and really, really in a bad, bad place. Hallelujah. Jonah said in Jonah 2, Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish belly and said, I cry by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he hear me out of the belly of hell, out of the belly of hell, heareth my voice, my brother and sister. His body was in the belly of the fish. His soul was in the belly of hell. That's the difference. This is why many don't understand. How come he says out of the belly of the fish and then out of the belly of hell? Because his body was in the belly of the fish, but his soul was in hell. My brother and sister, as this sister saw people that as they take the vaccine, their name get removed out of the book of life. My brother and sister. So the soul goes down to hell. They're still attached to the body like Jonah. Jonah could tell out of hell, or his soul could tell out of hell, that his body was still in the fish belly. My brother and sister. But see this thing now? They put themselves there. Their soul could have been on the earth, not in hell. They have to make the decision for their soul to go down to hell, which is a big decision. It's a big distance. But is there anything too hard for the Lord? That's what we need to consider. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything impossible for the Lord? Isn't the Lord in control of heaven, earth, and hell? Isn't it God in control of heaven, earth, and hell? Yes, he is. He wants hell. He's in control of it. He got Jonah out of hell. My brother and sister, out of hell. So, hallelujah. For thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the sea. Who cast him down in his disobedience? God. Not to say, but that's the way it is. When God says no to someone, like King Saul, he was not supposed to make the sacrifice. And God rejected him like Cain when he killed his brother and his sacrifice. Because God knew what was in Cain's heart. But God also knew what was in Saul's heart. God also know what's in these people's heart. And it's not his son. It's this world in love with this government and the world and the country. Very patriotic, they, my brother and sister. For thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the sea, and the flood compassed me about, and all the veil of thy way passed over me. Hallelujah. Then I say, I am cast out of thy sight, yea, I will look again to thy holy temple. Even though Jonah's body was in the belly of the fish, and his soul was in hell, Jonah still had hope in him. One thing anyone will tell you that I've been taken to hell, there's no hope in hell. There is no hope. So Jonah's soul to the demon in hell must smell different than the rest. Because if your soul is in hell and you still have hope, okay, there's a brother, let me see, try to think of his name, that was taken to hell. The demon can smell hope in you. Hope has a sweet smell that the demon can smell it out of you. Okay? They don't like that. They don't like when people have hope. Because when you hope in the Lord, as David said, my hope is in the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth, he knows that the Lord will save them that have hope in him, my brother and sister. And that's the key. That is the key, having hope in the Lord. My brother and sister, keeping our hope in the Lord every day. You never lose hope. Okay? In hell, there's no hope at all. Everyone in hell has lost hope. And the hope plays strongly, people feel when you're there, because I felt it too. No hope at all in hell. My brother and sister, hope is a thing of the earth and 100% in heaven for sure. My brother and sister. And the water compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed around me. The weed were wrapped around my head. Now, all these things tells you and I that those people that have taken the bite sin are still attached to the body one way or another. This is a mystery, but they still are attached to the body. Even though their soul is in hell, they are attached to the body. Because even though Jonah's soul was in hell, Jonah could say, the water compassed me about even to the soul. Are you listening to what he's saying? His body is on the belly fish right now at this moment. His soul is in hell. And he can tell, okay? He can tell still with his body being in the belly of the fish and his soul being in hell. He can still tell that what was happening with his body. My brother and sister, think about it. He can still tell what was happening with his body. He can still tell what was happening to his body. Isn't that weird, like sister saying? Hallelujah. The dead closed me around about, the weaver wrapped around my head. See, whatever was happening in his body and in the belly of the fish, he can still feel that. He can still experience that. That is so strange, isn't it? That's why when we explain these things, it's difficult. It is extremely difficult, because how can you explain these two things that God does with his mighty power that are so difficult to comprehend, my brother and sister? But if when we read the word, we ask God for wisdom first, and then we read his word and he'll show us in his word what happens to these people, then we get a better understanding. Because then we know how to pray for them. It was a question after people started being vaccinated. Should we pray for them? Should we pray for them? And yes, we will say yes, my brother and sister, because the Lord can still do something for them. The Lord told me that there will be a vaccine that they can take that will remove the effect of the COVID-19 vaccine, and they'll be able to go to heaven. Now, he didn't tell me that they'll be able to go to heaven in the rapture, but I believe it's that they have to stay behind in the Great Tribulation because they have to go through suffering, my brother and sister. That's what I believe according to the word. Jacob, I'm going to show you the trouble of Jacob in the Great Tribulation, my brother and sister. Going to show it to you. What Jacob will have to endure during the Great Tribulation, which is the same as those that will stay behind. You see, the bride is going into heaven, into that special place called the chamber. Shalom, Sister Consuelo. And so that place for the bride is special, unique. God is giving you a high position in his kingdom for enduring a persevering bride of Christ. But those that will stay behind, those that are going into the Great Tribulation, now I want to show you what Israel is going to go during the Great Tribulation. Let me read a few verses, and then I'll go to the main chapter. Thank you, Lord. Here's a type of the Great Tribulation for Israel, of what's similar to what Israel is going to go through in Esther 5:9. And when Hamath forced that day of joyful with glad heart, when Hamath was the enemy, saw Mordecai and the king gay, then he stood not up nor moved for him, for he was full of indignation against Mordecai. Everyone on the earth, my brother and sisters, are going to be angry of the Jewish, of Israel. Okay? We can already start seeing the nation, the Arab nation, how much they hate the Jewish people. Iran and these nations are preparing themselves with so much weapon that Obama sold them and other, and Russia has sold them in order for them to fight Israel. Okay? Israel is not really aware of what Iran has. Although God will have to fight with Israel, okay? Because Iran is much, much larger than the nation of Israel, my brother and sister. And we know that God has given Israel a lot of wisdom and knowledge on how to make weapons, for sure. But Iran had the United States through Obama for 8 years, even until the last year before he left office, selling them weapons. Even weapons that they just have made in this nation was sold to Iran through Obama. And now through the new president Biden's, my brother and sister, they're doing business with Iran again. And what they're doing now, no one knows until later we'll find out. Later we'll find out. It's terrible what's happening. Terrible. And so where is, that is so true, $80 billion of the Taliban, yes, in Afghanistan, okay? And where did the Taliban hide their weapon? In Iran. The reason why the Taliban was able to come out so quickly is because Iran was hiding them in their mountain, my brother and sister. Iran was hiding these Taliban in different places that they have bases and secret places under the mountain. The Taliban, hundreds of thousands of them hidden, okay? And the United States was not even aware of these Taliban. They thought that were mostly in Pakistan, which Pakistan had hundreds of thousands of them. But the United States and Israel were not aware at all because they were surprised when they came out under the mountain of Iran. But I could have shown you that in the book of Daniel for sure. That's in the book of Daniel. And that's why when I share some of these things out of the book of Daniel, people are like, it's in the book of Daniel. It's in the book of Daniel, my brother and sister. And it points out to them clearly there, too. And they came out by surprise now, around over 100,000 of them from under the mountain of Iran. And people are like, and the nations are like, oh, we were not aware that they were there. You're not aware of other things that they have, that Iran also has against Israel. And if the Lord had not shown me this years ago, that when the Psalm 83 war begins and Iran comes out with all the secret weapons, I think Obama has sold them, F-16, by thousands of them. F-16 and more by thousands of them. F-15 plane. Those are the best planes to fight, especially in those fields. United States has sold them by thousands of them. Russia has special planes also that they have sold to them by thousands of them. Okay, carry a full of them, okay, where they have to transport them threat by threat. And the same with the U.S. and then when Obama was in office and now with Biden in office. It's terrible, terrible, terrible. I warned the people 2-3 years ago that they were coming even more. And now they're there, they're coming, they're showing up. A lot of people are surprised, but if they go back and listen to my older Bible study, they'll hear me talking about it, that these things will happen. And I will bring more Bible study out of the book of Daniel. I will ask the Lord to show me more, and I will show you more other things that are going to come out soon out of them, my brother and sister. They got secret weapons, secret stuff that are going to come out soon that are in the book of Daniel, okay, that we can study and the Lord can show us. And then we can show it for people to be prepared and not be surprised. Like this time, people are surprised. Okay? This is, yeah, it is upset. Hallelujah. And thank you for your service, Sister Luna. And that is so sad for the soldier that went up there thinking that they wanted to keep this nation safe, and even the nation of Israel, our best friend, our best ally, and all this, my brother and sister. Okay, so sad. So Jonah said, I went down to the bottom of the mountain of the earth where her vial was about me forever. Okay? Now, I want you to see something. Jonah called hell her. And Mary Kay Baster, in her book, you can read it. You can look it up on Amazon, Mary Kay Baster, when the Lord took her to hell, or eBay, or Google it. Okay? He says that hell is like a woman. It's the body of a woman. Okay? Hell is the body of a woman. Mary Kay Baster described hell. And she went to the different part of hell. Hell is a woman. And the book of Revelation says that hell will be walking with death on the earth. It's a woman. You will see a woman walking on the earth in the great tribulation. But we're not going to be around to see her, because she's got to be ugly. Oh, she got to be ugly. Thank you, Lord. So this is what Jonah says. I went down to the bottom of the mountain. And the earth was her bar. Okay, about me forever. When people go to hell, one of the things that they can tell you, you know that place there is forever. The torment is forever. It goes forever. And Jonah felt that experience on verse 6 there that I just put in the chat room. He felt it. He says he barred, okay, one of the brothers that was taken to hell, I forget his name also, he was barred. He was in a cell in hell, okay? I believe at one time I saw cell in hell. I'm trying to think what cell have I seen in hell, okay? But there are cell in hell where Christians that the Lord has given them experience in hell, they been in those cells, and it feels forever. Well, Jonah was in one of those cells. Okay? Jonah was in one of those cells. Bart, he said. Her Bart, because the cell has bar, like metal bars, about me forever. Jonah thought that he was going to be in hell, barred in there forever, my brother and sister, because that's how it feels. Yet hast thou brought my life from corruption. That's why hell is, a corruption. To play corrupted, where everything is damaged. Okay? Oh, Lord, my God, he said. He is praising God, okay, for taking him, his soul, out of hell. And so his true repentance, he cried out. That's what's going to take people that have taken the by sin. They're going to have to truly cry out sincerely, like Jonah. If you have any family member, any son, any daughter, any uncle, any brother, any mother or any father that has taken the by sin, and they have questions for you, you need to tell them this. You may want to open chapter 2 of Jonah and say, let me read you this about Jonah. How he cried to the Lord to save him out of hell, out of the belly of hell. They're going to have to do the same. The Lord told me they're going to have to repent sincerely. This is the only way, the only way. Jonah cried out with all he got. And Jonah, let me tell you about Jonah. Jonah was a mighty prophet. He was a servant. He was a believer. He was a Christian. But look where he was led to hell because of the disobedience, my brother and sister. Okay? Thank you, Lord. Let me move on now. Job 10:17. Thou hast renewed thy witness against me, increased thy indignation upon me, changes. This verse, I want you to see something here. Because you hear a lot of people, hallelujah. Yes, the booster shot is going to hurt a lot of people. You hear a lot of people saying, how can Christians keep saying there's going to be war during the Great Tribulation, so war and nation fighting nation and so much evil happening. What Joel 10:17 is pointing, thy renewal thy witness against me and increase thy indignation upon me, changes word against me. This is Israel. This is his people who are in the great tribulation. They're going to experience word against them. Now, the Lord showed me this yesterday morning. Let me show you what he showed me. Or let me tell you what he showed me. He took me, my brother and sister, into the great tribulation, okay? And I'm wondering whether I was in the great tribulation or before. Because every time, if I'm in the future and I'm looking to see if I'm in the great tribulation, I said, well, I was in the great tribulation. Because I can see the evidence, demon loose, you know, daytime is darkness, things like that, like it says in the book of Joel, chapter 2. The sun turning into darkness, the moon into blood. I look for the sign. I see it clearly in the great tribulation. But this time, it was kind of like permanent darkness. So I would say yes. Okay? I heard the Lord saying yes too. So here it is. What I saw or what I heard. What they did with the people that are vaccinated in the great tribulation, they turned them against the Christians. My brother and sister, they turn them against the Christian. Hallelujah. And I heard someone saying to his mother, who was vaccinated, to help her, right? And the mother was saying, listen, I can only keep you temporarily in my house. You're going to have to leave my house. Because she was being chased by the government to try to force her to be vaccinated. Okay, for those that are thinking, is the vaccine the mark of the beast? As Jesus told me, it's the same thing, my brother and sister. It's the same thing. Because I was there yesterday morning, and the government was chasing Christians to forcibly vaccinate them. Forcibly. And a lot of people may ask, how can they forcibly vaccinate people? Well, they're chasing you with the government vehicles. And you're going from building to building or town to town. You're running for your life. Or you get on your car like a chase in the highway. And you're trying to get away from them as fast as you can. Run away from them as fast as you can. And Brother Benjamin can testify of this. They are trying to force the vaccine on your life. Why is it so important? After thousands of people, maybe hundreds of thousands have disappeared, and millions of children have disappeared, and people, the world is under chaos and confusion, beginning a seven-year great tribulation, why is it still so important to vaccinate humanity? You tell me, my brother and sister. Yes, Brother Benjamin just said it. Run is all you will do. That's all people are going to do down here. Run for their life every day. Because they're chasing you to force the vaccine on your life. If the vaccine was not the mark of the beast, if it was not, I would say now, this is me saying, if the vaccine was not the mark of the beast, under wisdom, I'll say this. Okay? Why is it still so important when the mark of the beast is being injected in your right hand in the great tribulation or in your forehead? Okay? Why is the vaccine so important? Because they know it's the same. That is why. The government knows. But those sleeping, my brother and sister, going about their life, don't know. They're still wondering. Thomas. Doubting Thomas, my brother and sister. No. No, my brother and sister. This is why when people came to me for 2 years now, Brother Elvie, it's the by seeing the mark of the beast. I told them to go to the Lord And when I dare say yes, people persecute me. Okay? But that didn't stop me from bringing the message. Okay? When I heard the Lord, I asked Jesus, he was standing in front of me. And I said, Lord, is the by seeing the mark of the beast? And the Lord said, it is the same system. Okay? Okay? He didn't say yes, but his yes cannot be more clear when he said it's the same thing. My brother and sister. So this is why we need to go to the Lord and ask the Lord. It's very, very important that we do. Okay? Let me keep reading. Praise you, mighty Lord, mighty Yeshua. Hallelujah. Psalm 69:24, pour out thy indignation upon them and let thy wrathful anger take hold of them. This is exactly what God's going to do. My brother and sister, the moment is going to come when the seal are going to be opened. My brother and sister, that moment is going to come. Thank you, Jesus. It's going to come when they are going to be opened. And what is need to be released, hallelujah, is going to happen. Revelation 6:1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seal, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, and one of the four living beings saying, come and see. Let me read this more. And I've been reading this for a lot of years in the King James, and now I would like to read this in the complete Jewish Bible, because I noticed that it brings a new light. It brings light into the matter, because we know what it says in the King James. Let's hear what it says, hallelujah, in this. And I watched as the Lamb broke the first out of the seven seal. And I heard one of the four living beings saying, and a thundering voice, go and look. And in front of me was a white horse, and the rider had a bow, and it was given a crown. And he rode off as a conqueror to conquer. And when he broke the second seal, I heard the four living beings saying, go. Another horse went out, a red one. And the rider was given the power to take away the peace from the earth and make the people slaughter each other. He was given a gray sword. I remember the nine when the Lord took me into the great tribulation. And I saw this mighty angel, evil fallen angel, great fallen Nephilim, with a mighty sword. This is when they are released, when the second seal, okay, when the second seal, hallelujah, is open, the angel, the four living creature in heaven says, go, okay, go. Like, get out, go. And the Lord has went out of that one, and the rider was given the power to take the peace from the earth and make people slaughter each other. He was given a great sword. I saw this. He was about 30 feet when I looked at him, 30 feet high, tall, great and strong, mighty and strong. And he was sliding people in Boston, Massachusetts. In the spirit, the Lord took me there. I was not far away from this fallen angel, fallen Nephilim, in the city of Boston. And as people were trying to get in Cambridge, Boston, as people were trying to get away from him, I saw him cutting the leg, the arm, part of their body. And I saw people on the floor crying with great crying because of what this fallen one was doing to them. My brother and sister, it's going to be terrible on this earth, because there are many and plenty of them that are going to be released upon this earth. If for one reason or another they hate humanity with a passion, and they just want to slew people, cut people to pieces, my brother and sister, the great tribulation is so horrible. That great indignation, that indignation the Bible talks about. Okay? He was given power to take the peace away from the earth. Okay, not only is it going to cut people in pieces, there will be no peace on the earth. no peace at all. And that's a power granted to him. Like part of his gift and power for a moment or for 7 years to take away peace. That's why when you find yourself in a great tribulation, you feel no peace there. But you feel the fear coming out of other people running from this horrible creature for fallen one, fallen Nephtali. It's horrible. My brother, it's just horrible and terrible. Okay? So, thank you, Jesus. Let me keep reading. Praise the Lord. Psalm 78, 49. He cast upon them a fierceness of his anger, wrapped indignation and trampled by sending evil angels among them. Here's a confirmation. In case you're wondering, where does the hell we get this? Where the hell we get his story or his revelation? They're weird. They don't sound biblical. Well, Psalm 78, 49. He cast upon them fierceness of his anger, wrapped in the nation in trouble by sending evil angels among them. And these are fallen, evil angels, fallen angels. And by the revelation, fallen Nephtalian. This is where I get, this is what confirmed what the Lord is showing me, his word. I can look it up in his word in fear. Okay? What do they bring? The Lord is angry in his wrath. He sent them indignation, great tribulation, trouble. Everyone is in trouble who stay behind the great tribulation. This is why you need to cry out to the Lord, to God, and hold on to him the most you can. Okay? Peter said that when those days, when the sun turns into darkness, the moon into blood, whoever calling, he said, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Okay, what is the Lord Jesus waiting for? Well, I saw a greater multitude being followed by demons to torment them and to cut them to pieces, and they were running. I heard them calling on Jesus, and Jesus was in the cloud and ordered his angel to protect them. Literally, you could see the angel confronting those demons. The demon were running away, running back, my brothers and sisters, in great fear of the angel and of him who was in the cloud. Because what did the Lord have said to us? He's in control. Jesus is in control in heaven and earth, as the Bible says. My brother and sister, he bought this earth and everything in it with his life. He bought it at the cross. Nothing here belongs to the devil. Nothing belongs to the devil. All this belongs to Jesus. Even hell belongs to Jesus because he went down into the key from Satan. The key in and out of hell, Jesus have it. And that's why the devil cannot do whatever he feels like it. When Jesus bounds a demon, the devil has to plead to the Lord, beg to Jesus to release it. Because he has the key, not the devil. God is in control. This is what humanity needs to understand. You can cry out to the Lord for help, for him to help you. Because it's the Lord doing this. He cast upon them, the Bible. Who's he? The Lord, God Almighty. He cast upon them fierceness of his anger, wrapping in the nation in trouble by sending evil angels among them. He tells Nephtalim, you go and torment them. They want it. This is what they wanted. You go. Terrible. It's going to be terrible down here. My brother and sister, hallelujah. David said in Psalm 102:10, because of thy indignation and thy wrath, for thou hast lifted me up and cast me down. Okay? See that the Lord is in control. He is the one who will rapture people, but he's also the one who has cast people down. Those that took them by sin are cast down. Their soul is in hell, but their body is up right here. I started observing some of my family who have taken the vaccine. And I'm seeing in their eyes and their speech and their behavior a different person. It's not they that I know, my flesh brother or sister. Why? Every day that passes, they're being changed. Those robots inside them are doing surgery. the DNA, as you, when you read in the Moderna and the Pfizer site online, what is the RDNA? RDMA. Read it. Read about RDMA. Because this is not new. It is not new at all. Hitler, his scientist, was the one that invented that technology. United States and Russia and Japan and China got hold of it, learned of it later on. There was an attempt on Hitler's life, my brother and sister, by the Allies, tried to kill Hitler. But one thing they did not know about Hitler and his closest men, that they already have fabricated the RDNA technology, the vaccine. And when they had injected themselves with it, Hitler and these men, that's why they still believe Hitler is alive today. Because he has that injected in his body, my brother and sister. And Hitler, they put a bomb in one of his elevators as he was going down with his men. The bomb was large enough to cut into pieces, to destroy him to pieces and his men. They got injured, but they did not die. As experts and scientists in the United States and the world study, how come Hitler did not die in that attempt to kill him? For years, when scientists heard that Hitler survived the bombing, they studied why. And then they found the blueprint of the vaccine he had made. And that's where it all begins. Because Hitler was already going to Antarctica and had asked the demon on how to make the vaccine. The demon that are locked up in under Antarctica told Hitler what was the ingredient to make the vaccine. And when he had a scientist and engineer to put the vaccine together, as they were told to, he had blueprint on how to make the vaccine. In some movie, like in the first Wonder movie, there's a scientist there that worked for this man, which is Hitler, in another word, in Germany. That part is made in Germany. And Wonder Woman goes with this guy to study, to find out what they were doing. And it's basically exactly what happened with Hitler. And why did he claim himself to be a god, and they were not able to kill him even with an explosion? Because it was the same thing that they did with Hitler. There was an explosion. And in Wonder Woman, what they do is they try to tell humanity how did they try to kill Hitler, but they were not able to. But it was because of the scientists he had that made him the vaccine that he got injected in his body. And if you look at the first Wonder Woman movie that came out a few years ago, you'll see, because they're trying to describe exactly what happened to Hitler. But I heard of the original story online, the attempt to kill Hitler. If you have not heard it, you can look it up on YouTube. They have this video on YouTube. And you'll see how the United States and other nation allies try to kill him in that elevator by putting a bomb on him. And what they don't tell you later on, after they found the blueprint, why was he able to stay alive in the explosion? And it's because what was put in the vaccine, it was put on the soldier when they sent him from Iraq in 91, 92, that they got several bullets on them and they were not able to die because the ingredient in the RDMA, the arm is for recovery. It's like fast recovery in the DNA. The nanotechnology in it, what it does is every day it's doing surgery on your DNA. And it's what they think is trying to make your DNA perfect. So when the soldier got a bullet in Iraq in the chest and one of the vital organs of the body, that nanotechnology was immediately able to restore all the muscle, was able to restore everything inside the body, my brother and sister, quickly, and not let the person die. Biblically, and the CIA will quote you the Bible and say, they will seek death, but they will not find it because it will flee from them. In other words, they knew or they know that what they've done. Here's another thing I heard online that I want also you to consider and study. How many other older people in the nursing home that's been injected with the Moderna or Pfizer have died? Okay? You can call any nursing home if you want to study this and do more study on what I'm telling you tonight and see how many of them that are taking the vaccine have died. Taking the vaccine have died after four, I believe Hitler was vaccinated 5 to 6 months after he was bombed, and they were not able to kill him. He was able to walk away because he already been vaccinated. So that means that those elder in the 80s and 90s, even people 98, 88 have been vaccinated 4 or 5 months ago, they're not dying in the nursing home. Registered by nursing home in New York City and around this country, elder people that usually die, in the nursing home like every month, every week, they at least have one die. After they've been vaccinated for 4, 5 to 6 months, they're not dying. None of them are dying. None. Zero. Reported by nursing home. Okay? And there's hundreds and thousands of nursing homes in New York City alone. You can research this. You can look this over. Anyone that's been vaccinated 5, 6 months or more, they are not dying. Not even one is being registered of dying in the nursing home. Okay? Have this a great significance? Yes. Because it's what I've been telling you all along. They're not going to die after they're vaccinated. In the Great Tribulation, this was going on in the Great Indignation. They can't die. They will not die. Their DNA is being changed. The whole molecular and the body is being changed. What the weak part where the person usually in old age die is being removed, and it's being restored with a new one, a young one, and the person will not die. It will not die. And so when I heard online, there was a report from New York about how the governor allowed 1,500 or 15,000 of them that die under him because he put in sick patient in there. And so I was listening to the report, but after the report was going on and on, then the reporter says, as those have been vaccinated 5, 6 months ago or more, zero, the reporter said, have died, as we know so far. So the vaccine is working, she says. For all these nursing homes that are thousands in New York City to report almost 6 months of those have been vaccinated, zero dead. Shouldn't that be a something for people to say, wait a minute. These older people, 98, 88, usually have died in the nursing home at least once a month or once a week, and they're not dying. That should be significant for people. Zero dead. Zero dead. And then she said, and mostly the same, it's the same around the country, she says. So you're telling me that these elder people that were vaccinated 6 months ago in the entire United States, 50 states, zero have died. People, open your eyes. Open your eyes. You got, think about it for a second. Just think about it for a second. Zero dead in 6 months. Okay? To me, for something like this to be reported, me listening to it, I immediately remember they were sick dead, but they were not that. It's exactly what I heard. When I heard about this by seeing in 1993, one of the things that the Lord revealed to the brother, it was a sister and a brother, part of the revelation was that those that will be vaccinated will not be able to die. And that stayed with me all this year. Is the coronavirus vaccine what they were talking about? Yes. The reporter just said that in New York, in the entire nation, in 6 months, zero adults have been vaccinated, zero reported dead. To me, that was like, because that's, I worked in a nursing home. My wife worked in a nursing home. One of the sad things of working in a nursing home is you have one patient at least a week die, or at least a month. It happens. It's normal. People in the 80s and 90s, they die all the time. But of these that have been vaccinated 6 months almost, zero have died in the entire nation. Shouldn't that be a concern? I won't say concern. A light going above your head, yellow light going, saying the Bible is coming to pass right before our eyes. It's here. This is the technology of the Antichrist that is being used. My brothers, stay away from the vaccine. Stay away. I told someone today on the phone, stay away from the vaccine. Tell your wife and children to stay away from it. Don't take it. Father told me whoever takes it will not be part of his kingdom. Okay? Very, very, very interesting what I hear online coming out of these report investigation that they're doing. Zero dead in the entire United States in 6 months of the elder. Zero dead. Those have been vaccinated 5 to 6 months. That's the same vaccine Hitler had, and that's why they're still looking. They are detective of the FBI online, still looking for Hitler, because they know what he took, and they know he's still alive. He took a submarine from Germany and disappeared, and no one knows where he is, and they know he's still alive. Why? Because that vaccine will keep you alive. You will not be able to die. Okay? It's biblical. It is biblical, my brother and sister. And when he broke the third seal, I heard the third living being say, go and look. And then in front of me was a black horse. Now, what is the other fact that they know? Because they also have some of them that have been vaccinated that are locked up in jail that are still alive, that's been vaccinated. That's how they know. If you're not one of those men so many years ago, still locked up in your prison, alive, when they should have been dead, they well know what they're dealing with. That's why they're still looking for Hitler, my brother and sister. I look in front of me was a black horse, and a rider held his hand a pair of a scale. Then I heard what sounded like a voice from among the four living beings say, 2 pounds of wheat for a day of wage, 6 pounds of barley for the same price, but don't damage the oil or the wine. This is talking about lack of food supply, lack of food in the entire world. We are already seeing the effect. I was watching a report the other night online of those people that study all this stuff that is going on, that food supplied, they believe, is more than 30%, okay, have disappeared. And there's no explanation to the people in this country, or no one in the world is talking about this. And it's just being put under the rug, under the carpet. It's being ignored. But it's great significance. And I believe this is a shadow of the 2022 famine that is about to begin. And I also know the Great Tribulation is close. Okay? I wouldn't be surprised if the famine and the Great Tribulation start together. Because what the Lord showed me this past week, when he showed me himself in heaven and the wedding place dress, he told me that yes, from there, his bride is about to enter, my brother and sister. And I want you to hear what the Lord told his sister. Same thing the Lord Jesus told me last week. She's talking about this brother that the Lord told him the same thing. And when she pray, you're going to hear what the Lord says to her, my brother and sister. There's no coincidence. There's only confirmation of what is about to happen, what Jesus said is going to happen to us. He is telling us, Jesus Christ our Lord is telling us what is about to happen and for us to be ready, my brother and sister. This is a test of the saint that we need to be ready of all time. Thank you, Lord. I want you to hear this audio. It's a 5-6 minute audio, and I'll be back after this. My brother and sister, the sister for the Mingnan Oil, what the Lord confirmed to her in regard to how close we are to be going home. Listen.
Hi, everyone. I'm Melissa with Midnight Hour Oil. I wanted to come out today and just share a couple things with you that I think will encourage you and remind us that we really are out of time, church, and what we do right now is just so important. So the first thing I wanted to share, this was maybe a week or two ago, I received an email from someone, and they were talking about the timing of the rapture, asking me when I thought it was, telling me what somebody else had told them. And so I woke up and I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about the timing of it and do we have more time, just contemplating this email in my mind, what this person said, what I responded. And as I was doing this, very, very gently, very softly, but clearly, I heard in my spirit the words, time is up. Time is up. And I knew that that was the Holy Spirit basically responding to my reasoning, my thoughts about the timing. And I looked up that idiom, and this is what it said. The period of time, meaning time is up, the period of time allowed for something is ended. As in, turn in your paper, students, time is up. This idiom uses up in the sense of completed or expired, a usage dating from about 1400. All right, so I didn't go out and share this, but then my husband and I went to my friend Vera's and Pete's last weekend for dinner, and as we were there, Pete had shared something that he was shown when he woke up one morning. I believe it was in a vision. It came before him, and he said he saw, just like in those old-time movies, okay, when the movie was coming to completion, you know, those kinds that were on the round, the reels that would project, and he said he saw the words that come up at the very end, the end, and he said those would always appear so that the person running the projector would know to stop it before the movie ended up all the way, you know, onto the other reel so they could rewind it. But anyway, he saw that in a vision, that old time, the end. And I felt like that was a confirmation of what the Lord had given me that morning. And I just went and I did a search on Bible Gateway, the end. And I just wanted to see what would come up. And the first scripture that came up was from Daniel chapter 12. And I wanted to share this because I believe this is encouraging because it talks about the escape. Daniel actually talks about that. In Daniel 12, it says, at that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Everyone whose name is found written in the book will be delivered. And he goes on to say, multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. All right. Now, you can cross-reference this with 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 53, where the Apostle Paul talks about the escape, the rapture. And, you know, I wasn't going to say this, but what we believe about this really is critical. And I feel like I should say this. If a person does not believe, all right, that Jesus died for their sins, can that person be saved? If a person who doesn't believe that Jesus heals, that God heals today, can that person be healed? See, there's a principle within the Word of God that what we receive is based upon what we believe, right? It's faith, faith. This is how we come into salvation. This is how we receive healing or anything from the Lord, through faith. And Maurice Scholar, and I uploaded a portion of the video where he shared this, had said that he had been listening to some TV evangelist, he didn't name the person, but this person was really coming against the pre-tribulation rapture, and it upset Maurice so much that he went to the Lord in prayer about it. And what he shared was very sobering. He said the Lord basically told him that if a person does not believe my promise to rescue them from the wrath to come, I have no obligation to do so. Okay, so this is important, what we believe. And it's bedrocked in Scripture. The pre-tribulation rapture is bedrocked in Scripture. And I encourage you, if you're on the fence about this, if you're somebody who says, well, I'm a pan-tribulationist, like everything's going to pan out, you might want to rethink that, because like I was sharing, the principle of believe and receive applies to the pre-tribulation rapture promise, to the rescue that Jesus speaks of when he says, pray always, you know, that you're counted worthy to escape all that's coming upon this earth and to stand before the Son of Man at the Bema Seat judgment. All right. Now, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 through 53, behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, just like what Daniel was told, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. All right, so this is a promise in the Word of God, and we can choose to believe it, or we can, you know, go with others who say, you know, no, the church has to suffer, has to be tested, all right, which would, in fact, if that were true, negate what the blood of Jesus did for the body of Christ. He took the wrath of God on his body for us. Yes, we go through troubles and trials and tribulation. The church has been being persecuted since it was born 2,000 years ago, and nothing has changed. She's still being persecuted. Our brothers and sisters in Christ around the globe, more every day, are being persecuted, tortured, even martyred for their faith in Jesus. That's not what we're talking about when we talk about Jacob's trouble, the 7 years of tribulation coming on the earth. The purpose is to work with Israel. You know, God is going to bring Israel into faith in her Messiah. But I encourage you, church, take time to think through what you believe concerning the rapture, because it truly is important. Based upon the biblical principle that we receive based on what we believe, our faith, it's vital. It's vital. And I encourage you all just to continue, even in the difficulties that come against us, continue planting the seeds of truth. Continue reaching out to unsaved family and friends. I ran into yesterday a young man. His name was Jackson, and he recognized me from my YouTube channel, and we got to talking, and just, he's a very bright young man, and he had a lot that he wanted to share, and he was sharing how he had been evangelizing, but there was a lot coming against him when he was doing this, and he ended up just kind of backing away from it, and it seemed like all of that began to clear up, and things got a little better. But what I shared with him was what I want to share with you. There is going to be a day that we stand before the Lord, and this day, that at the Bema Seat Judgment, when he gives us eternal life, because we haven't received it, we're walking in it, but it's not complete. We have yet to receive eternal life. And when our bodies and our entire being is redeemed that day, what will we be holding in our hands? And this isn't about works. This is not about a works teaching. It's about how much do we love Jesus. When we realize how much he gave for us and how much he did for us to give us eternal life, we're going to want something to give him. And if the works that we did here amount to nothing more than wood, hay, and stubble, I mean, what will we have to present to the Lord? So it's important that we are right now listening to the Holy Spirit to show us those divine appointments, opportunities to share our faith in love, to do what we do out of love, because that's the only thing that's going to count. As Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, anything that's done outside of a motive of love isn't even going to count. But looking for those opportunities so that when we stand before the Lord, we will have a crown. We will have something that we can present and throw at his feet to thank him, to worship him for all that he's done for us. It's just something to think about, something to pray about, church. But I hope that this message has encouraged you. And as always, it is my prayer that we will all continue to keep our lamps burning bright while we wait for Jesus. I love you all. God bless you.
Thank you, Lord. He is coming in the cloud. All eyes will see him. That is for sure, my brother and sister. He said he would. Amen. Isaiah 10:5, woe to the Assyrian, the rod of my anger, and the staff in their hand that is mine indignation. The rod and the staff that comfort David is not to comfort anymore in the Great Tribulation, but it's his indignation, the discipline of God upon humanity to get them straight, to get them to seek him, to really cry out to him like Jonah. Jonah finds himself in the same position that the people that are going to enter the Great Tribulation are going to find themselves, my brother and sister. But they're going to have to cry out to the Lord like Jonah. They're going to have to say, Lord, help me. Lord, save me. Because it's the only way they're going to be saved, my brother and sister, when they cry out. Okay? Isaiah 10:25, for yet for a little while, and the indignation shall cease in my anger and their destruction. Okay? There will be a ceasing time, because 7 years is, you know, to the Lord, to heaven, the Lord is an eternity. 7 years, practically nothing. It's just little. Shalom, brother Miguel. You know, so the Lord says for a little while and the indignation shall cease. It's just 7 years. And Daniel 12 explains it and even gives you, my brother and sister, it even gives you that the church, the righteous, is going to be taken out. Won't be part. It won't be part because the righteous, according to Daniel, have been made clean, have been made pure, my brother and sisters. Okay? It says to Daniel, but you, Daniel, verse 4, keep these words secret, sealed. Seal up the book unto the time of the end, the time where you and I are in. Many will rush here and there, and knowledge will increase. And that's exactly what's happening. With so much internet, cell phone, and so much knowledge have increased. My brother and sister. Then I, Daniel, looked and saw in front of me two other, one in the bank of the river, the other on the other bank, and one of them asked the man dressed in linen, who was above the water of the river, how long will this wonder last? And I'm glad that someone asked how long. Because only God knows when is the day of the rapture. But when will the tribulation be? Right after the rapture, for sure. Okay? But how long? How long will it last is the question. Not when, but how long it's going to be. Well, that was revealed to Daniel. The man dressed in linen who was above the water of the river raised the right hand and left hand toward heaven, excuse me, and swore by him who liveth forever that it will be for a time and a half. that it will be when the power of the holy people is no longer being shattered, then all these things, hallelujah, will end. And the shatter, the Psalm 83 word that is coming, that's going to bring great destruction on Jacob. So much destruction that David cried out to the Lord for God to do something. And I always remind people of this. If David tells God in Psalm 83 to do something, that means that what's happening with his people, he is very scared of them being destroyed, my brother and sister. Okay? He's very scared. He says, oh God, God, don't remain silent. This is a complete Jewish Bible. God, don't remain silent. Don't stay quiet or still. Why is he telling God, why is he speaking to God in his prayer this way? Because David knows God is in control. We can read it in his psalm. He knows God is in control. But why is David praying so scared, if you want to say it, so desperately? Why is he praying this way? Because what God is showing David is very concerning to him. In this Psalm 83 war, my brother and sister, it's not going to be that good for Israel. God, don't remain silent. Don't stay quiet. Or still. He wants God to do something. What is it that he's seeing his people, Israel, going through in this great tribulation right when the Psalm 83 begins, that he is so concerned for Israel? I told you that Iran has a lot of weapons, so by the United States and Russia, that Israel is not aware of all the weapons, that Israel is just but a little country, nation, my brother and sister. And they're going to be surprised when they war with Iran. Okay? Verse 2. Because here your enemy are causing an uproar. Let me tell you what that uproar the Lord showed me from the air. I saw the uproar. Them coming with the greater tanks, planes, my brother and sister, all kinds of weapons against Israel. Like the sand of the sea, it was a lot. I was thinking myself, how is Israel going to fight this enemy? Then Jesus showed me himself fighting with them. It is the only way Israel will remain alive, my brother and sister. And those that will stay behind will see the word of Israel and will say, wow, only God can deliver them. Those who hate you are raising their head, craftily complying against your people, consulting together to those you treasure. Everything that they're doing now, and it's in the book of Daniel, is secretly craftily complying against your people. Okay? This is what they go on television, intelligent, military intelligent. This is what they go today. Okay? It's everything that has to do with intelligence that they're purchasing is secret because it's intelligent. The nation that have it, Russia, United States, and all these nations that have it, they only sell it. And they have to pay millions and billions to purchase it. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you for that, Joseph. Hallelujah. Jonah crying. So the intelligence against Israel is great. Iran is buying a lot of it. They say, and there was a report years ago when Obama was still in office of intelligence that they sold to Iran. Okay? Not only weapon, but intelligence. They say, come, let us wipe them out as a nation. Let the nation of Israel be remembered no more. This is what Iran is planning. That when they finally decide to go against Israel, it will be the last and the end of Israel. Okay? That intelligence that they have gathered and bought, okay, through Obama and them, is a lot. enough for them to know where Israel have all the nuclear weapons, all those bases, secret bases, military bases, to destroy them quickly and leave them defenseless is what they're planning. Okay? The intelligence provides them with all the information they need, the intelligence they purchase, where they are, and how to get to them, what kind of weapon they need to destroy them. That's what the intelligence is about. And David heard the speech and the revelation of the Lord. They say, he heard them. When he said they say, it's because he heard them say, let wipe them out as a nation. I ran in the television program. I don't know if you watch international news. Please get used to watching international news so you see what I'm, Middle Eastern news. Okay, there's a few stations that you can listen to. It's a lot of information they put out. They make mistakes like everybody else. And they talk about destroying Israel as a nation, how they're meeting, how they're gathering together. Let the name of Israel be remembered no more. And they're saying, the leaders of Iran and these nations are saying that on television that they're going to wipe them out of the map. That soon their vengeance is coming. With one mind, they plot, scheme. This is the intelligence. The covenant they have made against you. The ten of Edom in Ashemalim. The Moab in the green. Javel, Ammon, and Amalek. Plus share with those living in Tosor. Ashur, too, is alive with them. My brother and sister, assured, nation that is claiming to be friend with Israel, the Bible said to them, they're also an ally to your enemy. Okay? They're pleading being your friends, maybe today on television, but the Bible said they're an allies to them. Egypt claimed to be not part of Iran. They're an ally. Syria, Libya, Pakistan is one of the allies too. Pakistan has nuclear weapon. Everybody knows that. These are allies, my brother and sister. And so when Iran decides to go all out, they're going to join, and that will be the surprise because Egypt has weapons bought from the United States. F-16, F-15, by thousands of them. Imagine using those planes where Iran and Pakistan got their weapons too. It's just so sad. And these are bigger countries than Israel. To reinforce the descending of Lot, do to them as you did to Mihon, to Sisera, to Jabin, to Vade Kishon. As they were destroyed in Eror and became number for the ground, made their leaders like Oreth and Sabeth, and all the princes like Savah and Tasmona, who say, let's take possession. O God, Amidoth, for yourself, ourselves, take vengeance for ourselves. My God made them like world dust, like shafts driven by the wind. Like fire burning off the forest, like flame that set the mountain ablaze, drive them away with your storm. And this God, the Lord is going to do. It even tells you how God's going to fight them when they come on the wilderness with all these endless amount of plain. Obama saw them, thousands of them. My brother and sister, he didn't even dare to tell the American people how much he saw them. Because it will be a shame. There's so many Christians here that love Israel. And for him to plan the destruction of Israel this way, with taxpayer money, those weapons were made. My brother and sister, now they're going to be used against their closer friend, closer ally, which is Israel. Same weapon that were purchased and built with taxpayer money, now they're going to be used to destroy the nation of Israel. My brother and sister, the situation these nations are getting into, They don't know that as they fight Israel, they fight God. Simple. His name is in that place. His name is there. Jerusalem is a chosen city. His city. You bomb Jerusalem, you bomb the Lord. You go against Jerusalem, you go against Israel, you're going against the Lord. You can write that in stone and see the result at the end of the Great Tribulation when he comes down, how angry he will be against the nation who rise against Israel, who participate through the UN. My brother and sister, the UN will have it coming to them, okay, because all of them support more Iran than Israel itself. My brother and sister, they made a Benjamin Netanyahu when he went and spoke to the UN a laughing stock. And they're doing the same to the new leader now. They're laughing at him. They're mocking him, not taking him serious at the UN and none of this nation, my brother and sister. Israel has come to be in the last day a laughing stock for the nation. But the God is going to fight for them. They're going to experience the Lord's wrath for that. My brother and sister, drive them with a storm. In other words, God's going to rise a storm when they're all coming against Israel, where he's going to drive them away. Their machine will not be able to move forward. And tanks are made for the desert, wind and temperature and all that. But the Lord can make the weather so strong, the earth so brittle and so shakening. And the dust he can use, he did it in Egypt. He will do it again, my brother and sister. He will drive them away when he decides to. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Drive them away with your storm. Terrify them with your tempest. Exactly. He's going to terrify them. Fill their faces with shame so that they will seek your name, Adonai. In other words, if he put them to shame, they will have no choice, like King Nebuchadnezzar, to praise the God in heaven. My brothers, after 7 years passed over King Nebuchadnezzar, after God had turned him into a beast of the field, to humble him, so what God will do to these Arab nations. And so when King Nebuchadnezzar, hallelujah, after 7 years, opened his eye and looked to heaven, the Bible says he praised the God of heaven. Why? Because the Lord, God had put him to shame. He was naked as a werewolf with the beasts of the field, my brother and sister, eating grass like them. In order to survive, he had no choice but to hunt like them, to live like an animal. God put him to shame. So will God do to this earth, the people of this earth, who are thinking so prideful. Remember when I mentioned the virus, the plague that was going to come all over the earth, and that the plague that started in China was the plague that God was going to come all over the world. They told me I was crazy to go check and study, check my study and go study. That this nation is so advanced that a virus that will come out of Wuhan, China, will not enter this nation because supposedly we have the medical technology to protect the people from such a virus. Elvie, you better check your information, they told me. My brother and sister, you come from our land, you don't know what you're talking about. How can you say this virus starting in China is going to be all over the world? You're crazy. You better check your information, they say. And look where it is. It's all over the state, all over the country. Even people in government are dying of it. My brother and sister, God will not be mocked. When God says something is going to come, we speak. Even though they'll make fun of us and laugh of us, my brother and sister, they have no idea that God can release a simple thing that will look like they can stop it with a technology. When they won't be able. They're going to drop dead, standing. By the 5 seconds they have to drop to the floor, they're dead. and the second plague that is coming. And they will know that the Lord has spoken it, and that the Lord is going to fulfill it, my brother and sister. We are better off repenting, crying out like Jonah, my brother and sister. Or the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will put everyone to shame. That is the truth. He is God. And King Nebuchadnezzar can testify them. Let them be ashamed and fearful forever. Yet let them perish in the grace, says David. Let them know that you are alone who is Adonai, at the most high over all the earth. That is so true. He is the only one high God, my brother and sister. And he is over all the earth. And those that have refused his way are going to be put to shame, my brother and sister, for refusing the weight of the Lord. He had warned them. He had told them it would come, it will be so. So the only thing left for us is to repent. Once God tells us something is coming, what do? We need to repent. The indignation is coming. My brother and sister, Isaiah 13:5, they come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Lord and the weapon of his indignation, to destroy the whole land, said the prophet Isaiah. How much of the land can escape? Unless we repent, unless humanity repent, no one escape. Because he comes from the end of heaven, even the Lord and the weapon of his indignation. Weapon, the Bible says weapon, tool. That's what the Bible is, a tool. It's a weapon. We call it a bioweapon. That's what that is. It's a weapon. A weapon of his indignation. More of these weapons that come from the end of the earth will be released. One weapon has been released, the virus, COVID-19. And look how people cannot stop it, cannot hold it back. They have to hide in the tools of death, my brother and sister, thanking them to stay alive. It's so sad, but that's where everything is today. My brother and sister, praise you, Jesus. Isaiah 30:27, behold, the name of the Lord comes from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue is devouring fire. What does that mean? Every word, hallelujah, every word that proceedeth out of the word, out of the Lord's mouth, through his prophet. The Bible says, whoever believeth his prophet will be blessed. The Bible says that. If you believe his prophet, you will be blessed. Every word that comes out of his lips, full of indignation, his tongue is a devouring fire. Every word he speaketh is going to come to pass, whether people like it or not, whether people believe it or not, his word is going to come to pass. Okay? He calls people to repent and believe, but if they refuse to do so, is that going to change anything of his judgment? No. They'll still come. Only the righteous will be kept under his wing, under his shadow. The Lord will be a shield, as he said to Abraham, to us, a protector in the bad time, in the difficult time, in the evil time, the Bible says. He will be a shield to us. He will protect us from all this stuff if we are repenting. But if we're lukewarm, remember when we talked about the blood, 98.6? If we go beyond the 98 to 40, 50, 20, we're lukewarm Christian. You got to stay under the heat of the Lord, 98.6. That's where the blood needs to be, the blood that is alive, my brother and sister. 98.6. You got to be in the heat. You go out under the sun at a 98.6 temperature, you're burning. You're running inside right away. You take refuge right away because you're burning. But that's what the Lord wants us to be, under the heat of his blood. He wants us burning for him, my brother and sister, in our spirit. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Isaiah 30:30. The Lord should cause his glory voice to be heard and should show the lighting down of his arm with the indignation of his anger and with the flame of devouring fire, gathering in tempest and hailstone. That's also coming, my brother and sister, bigger than what people have seen. Hailstones are coming down. Part of his indignation, my brother and sister. How many times if he's going to warn people and tell people that these things are coming? He's been saying it. He's been speaking it. There comes a time when the Lord said, all right, enough is enough. And he brings it to pass, my brother and sister. And it's not going to matter where they are unless they are repenting, my brother and sister. Okay? Unless they are repenting, because that's what he wants. He wants his people repenting. And unless they are repenting, when the judgment comes, when the coronavirus came, my brother and sister, in 2020 in this nation, did it matter where they were, where people were with God? It only matter if you were walking with God closely with him that you were being protected. But if you were not walking close with the Lord, it didn't matter because a lot of people got sick and ended up going to the hospital. And people started getting vaccinated in the hospital. And as a man that I heard online, right in the beginning of 2020, he got sick. He went to the hospital, and they vaccinated him to protect him. And then he started getting worse. And a lot of those people that first got vaccinated before the Moderna vaccine and the Pfizer and all that stuff, they released those vaccines, they started dying, my brother and sister. That's why I talked about the 5-6 months after they get the Moderna or the Pfizer, because those are the ones that are registered with the RDMA that keep people alive. And those are a lot of the elders that have been vaccinated. I believe also Johnson & Johnson have the RDMA too. People are not dying, reported online. And the question is why? If they're 98 around there 6 months ago, what is it keeping them from dying, my brother and sister? That is the question. When they normally, people die when they're close to 100. But in this case, those that are being vaccinated, the COVID-19 vaccine, are not dying at all. They're reporting zero dead after 5-6 months of those have been vaccinated. Now, we have cases where people have been vaccinated and die almost immediately. Although they, or the nine, that same night that's been vaccinated, they die. Or immediately after, we saw that nurse on television that was vaccinated on camera. Well, she died that same day. She dropped to the floor. By the time they took her to the hospital, she was dead. And the Lord said that was someone he was saving. So a lot of those that died right away got saved because the Lord had planned with them, my brother and sister. But that's something really to think about and something to research even more. That's what people need to do. They need to research the information I'm providing to them tonight. Research it. Ask other people if they know of anyone who's been vaccinated after 5-6 months, if they die. And you have to be specific after those years, because that's what happened with Hitler. After 5 months being vaccinated, they couldn't kill him. And they tried. They bombed him. But none of them died. They were injured, severely injured. But they were able to recover with no problem. And they were able to get in a submarine and disappear. And some of the closer men that were with him that got arrested, they have them. They still have those men in jail. And all the blueprint that they found at the Bicene. So it gives you the information is up there. And if you look it up, when I heard in 93 that Bicene that will be released after they take them, people won't be able to die, that stuck with me in back of my mind. You know, and it's like kind of wanted to see when were they going to release the Bicene. Okay? But they did say it will be a virus first going out, and it will pay the media billions of dollars to bring fear because of the virus for people to take the Bicene. Because what was important to the elite was that people would take the Bicene. That was their idea was when they present the Bicene, when the sister saw the man who showed them the Bicene in the middle of the table, so around all those men, and one of the men said, how are we going to get humanity to take the Bicene? He said, we will create a virus, and we'll pay the media billions of dollars, and under fear, people will take the Bicene. We will give them the Bicene. We'll have total control over them. Through this Bicene, we will control the world, they say. And it was a plan of the elite. And their plan, we're seeing it now in 2020 and 2021, their plan being put to action. No matter whether people want to be vaccinated or not, they're pushing it forward. Billions of dollars. Right when they were saying, oh, governments are running out of money to buy more Bicene and all that, all of a sudden, billions are up here for the Bicene. Moderna and Pfizer are receiving billions of dollars to make sure they got enough Bicene for whole humanity, and even Johnson & Johnson. Where the elites are providing the money for the Bicene. Because it's always been their plan and always been their agenda. And there will always be enough money to make enough Bicene. Even with hundreds of thousands of things going bad, because when they move on to a place or another place and the fridge turn off or something happens and then they're not able to keep the Bicene cool as they're supposed to. And you notice that another thing, my brother and sister, the Bicene has to be below zero. I believe it's 60 degrees or 30 degrees. I think it's 60 degrees below zero. Has to be the same temperature that those demons that are bound has. And that new ship that they made that they're multiplying in Canada, also that I talked about in the low tower, has to run under the same degree of the Bicene. If you put the number together, everything go hand to hand. 60 degree for the Bicene, 60 degree for that ship. Everything, if you put it, you'll find the 666 and all the three major things that they're using now, my brother and sister. You'll find the 666 there clearly. And that's the number of the name, Revelation 13, of the Antichrist. Read it, Revelation 13. That's the number of the beast, the name of the beast, 666. It is tied to the Bicene temperature, and even the someone help me, please. The license of the Bicene that they come out with, it also started with 6. The people were showing it online. For a while, people were talking about the number, the license that they registered with. It had the 666 in it. So when you put the 666 of the name of the beast are clearly there, pointing to the Nephthalene. The beast is tied with the Nephthalene. The temperature is 60 degrees below zero. The temperature of the Bicene is 60 below zero. Okay? And it's incredible how everything is tied to one another. It has to be there. The pattern, see, thank you, Sister Erica, the pattern, it's 666. And that's a revelation. When you put it together with Revelation, the book of Revelation, then you see, say, wow, it's incredible. All those six are there, specifically there. My brother and sister. And, you know, they try to play around with the number when they find out that people are saying the 60, they play around with the number because the temperature can differ, can change. And it will not, like if it's 60 degrees below zero, the least, they can set it to 70, all the way to 94 below zero. Because the whole idea is that they know what the Bible says. They know what Christians are saying. And they want to vaccinate Christians. This is where they say, okay, 70 degrees below zero to 94. That's Matthew 24. That is Matthew 24. Pfeiffer is, what, you know what Pfeiffer is doing? What did Jesus say about that? If it was possible to deceive the elect, if it was possible to deceive the elect, let's change it from 60 degrees to 70 all the way to 94. So it was possible to deceive the elect. Let's give the elect a different number than the 60 so we can deceive them and to take in the vaccine, if it was possible. And so when you start comparing the number again, it will all fall under the 666. Okay? Bill Gates was confronted with the 666, pardon me, and he was going through the roof. He said, well, I don't know how it came out because we just filed it, and that's what we got in return. Exactly, because that's what it is. The Bible can never be wrong. Okay? Let all men be a liar and God be truthful. There's no way. But they'll try to play with the number to deceive the elect, my brother. And said, that's what it is. Deceive the elect. But we are not led by men. We are led by God's Spirit. He will lead us to all truth. All truth, my brother and sister. And all truth can only come from God. It cannot come from men. It can only come from God. So, my brother and sister, he will lead us to all the words of God. Isaiah 34:2. I'm going to play an audio now. I share about the Great Tribulation a few years ago, which about 400 plus people really liked the teaching. Okay, and I believe I share a lot of dreams the Lord given me. I want to play that for the last hour for those that were not around when I share some of that information. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. Isaiah 34:2, for the indignation, the Lord is upon all nations. For in the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury is upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. Listen to what God is saying in his word, my brother and sister. It has been determined by God, okay, to lead humanity into the hand of the fallen Nephilim. God determined this from the beginning. He's talking to us about the end from the beginning. He decided what he was doing. That's in Isaiah 34:2. And you can read the entire chapter of Isaiah 34 because he's telling you what he's going to do with humanity. My brother and sister, for in the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations. His fury is upon all their army. He has utterly destroyed them. He had delivered them to the slaughter. And what did they say about the angel that he given the sword to bring the slaughter upon humanity? He delivered humanity into the fallen Nephilim, sons and daughters, and when he released them out of the pit. Out of the pit they come out. Go, he says. He's releasing them out of the pit. Father is. But one thing Father told me in heaven, that before he released them, his children will now be on the earth. He told me this very clear in heaven. My brother and sister, Father, Yahweh, Elohim told me this in heaven. Before he released them, his children will now be on earth. He's going to take them out of the earth. My brother and sister, thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for Father.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord.
Mighty God, mighty Yeshua.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, shalom, shalom, my brothers and sisters. Welcome to the Lord's Hour. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for his mercy, his love that endures forever. Mighty God. Hallelujah. Shalom there, Brother Branton. Thank you, Lord. Shalom to everyone else. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. That are listening at home. Praise you, Lord, that are listening on the cell phones, on the computer. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. What a praise you, Lord. What a great God we serve. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hope everyone been in repenting, seeking the Lord, preparing for the coming of Jesus, preparing for that great day of the rapture of our Lord Jesus Christ, rapture, departure. Thank you, Jesus. I believe we're going to have a wonderful program. Thank you, Lord. I'm working on a Bible study right now. Not done completely, but I'm going to share what I have. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Because the more we study the Word, the more we understand what is happening in these last days in the land of Israel and what is going to uncover or be revealed, according to the Word, of the Antichrist in the last day, brothers and sisters. Whether all this mention of the Antichrist, Revelation 13, comes out of, brothers and sisters, a lot of it, hallelujah, the Lord is helping me to understand through His Word, brothers and sisters. I'm going to share what I have, and I'm going to continue to study and get more information in regard to the land of Israel, to the ministry of iniquity in the last day, the Antichrist, and the things that the Lord for years has been revealing to me, and more He's been revealing in this last day, not just to me, but to many other people. Praise you, Lord. We are seeing, brothers and sisters, signs of the great tribulation. This bad weather we got this past week, past month in the United States, in the beginning of this 2018, has been all pointing to the great tribulation. These are signs that the great tribulation is about to begin. This flu, hallelujah, that has killed over 30 children in the United States is a sign of the great tribulation. These things will be daily things happening, daily news in the great tribulation, brothers and sisters. So these are signs. And when the Lord years ago began to show these things to me through dreams and visions, of this judgment that will be happening in the great tribulation, as the Lord took me there for over 20 nights and showed me different revelation of the great tribulation, the Lord began to show me the signs that will be happening or going about in the great tribulation, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. And I want to talk about these things. Praise you, Lord, because as we get closer to the great tribulation, the more these things will be much clearer, much revealed, much harm is coming to the land, much death is coming to the land, brothers and sisters. And so it's everything is in the Word. Anything you and I need to know or well know, it's in the Word of God. Before it's in the news, on CNN, Fox News, anywhere, it's in the Word of God, brothers and sisters. The news just report the bad things that are going on. But the Word of God reveal everything to us from the beginning of Genesis to the last book of Revelation, everything that we need to know in regard to the end time and the judgment that are about to before that happen. Before they happen, the Word of God teaches them to us. As we research the Word and study the Word carefully and pray about the Word, to ask the Lord to help us understand His Word, brothers and sisters. First of all, I open let's go to the Word. I open my Bible in Genesis chapter 2. I begin to meditate on Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3. And the question has been by many rabbis and studiers of the Word for many years is, why does Genesis 1, where God finished all creation, hallelujah, why does it goes to Genesis chapter 2 and then chapter 2? Some of the rabbis said that it's a different timing where this event went about, and they are different from each other. And they believe there could be millions of years in the different timing from Genesis 1 to Genesis 2. Now, when I began to read Genesis 2, This is what we understand after God created the heaven and the earth, brothers and sisters. In Genesis chapter 2, we read that thus the heaven and the earth were finished and all the host of them. Now, why does it use the word host? Now, some Bible translation uses the word army and all the army of them, brothers and sisters. I know that there are a few brothers and sisters having problem logging in. So before I go ahead and begin to explain things, let me go ahead and pray that they're able to log in. Mighty Jesus, mighty Yeshua, mighty Jehoshaphat, and billions and trillions of warriors, angel Lord, to keep my home, to keep my family, keep this office, Lord, to keep my brothers and sisters listening, Lord, and those that are trying to log in, some billions and trillions of warriors, angel Lord, to help them, Lord Jesus. We bind the strong men, all hindering spirit, Lord, from north to south, east to west, up and down, in Jesus' name, Yeshua. Name, mighty Lord, mighty God, break the power of the evil one, Lord. Allow your people to log in tonight, Lord, and listen and be ministered, Lord, according to your word, according to your will, Lord. We pray that not our will be done, but thy will be done, Lord Jesus. Lord, we repent of all, Lord Jesus, anything that is not of you, false teaching, Lord. Any demonic things that is not of you will repent. Any demonic teaching that is not of you will repent in Jesus' name. Please forgive us, Lord. Cleanse us up with your blood and your holy fire in Jesus, Yeshua. Mighty name, mighty Lord, mighty Jesus. Give me the word that we need to minister to our life, Lord, tonight. In Jesus' name, mighty Yeshua. Mighty Jehoshaphat, touch the heart, the mind, the understanding, Lord. Give us wisdom and understanding from heaven, Lord. Help us to understand your word, Lord Jesus. Mighty Lord, mighty Yeshua, according to thy will, according to thy plan. Mighty Jesus, mighty Yeshua, all glory and honor be given unto you. Thank you, Lord. And let me mention that before I go into the Bible study, I want to mention what the Lord revealed to me last week. And it was another revelation of the rapture departure. At this time, we were in heaven. And I knew that we were about, as we were in heaven in the place of the wedding celebration, brothers and sisters, I noticed that the Lord began to explain to me that our whole life has been to be prepared for the mighty wedding of our Lord Jesus Christ. That wedding, hallelujah, is so special to the Lord and it's so special to the Father, even more to the Father than anybody else. Because when you read Matthew 22, you read that it was the Father who prepared a wedding banquet for his son, Jesus. It was the Father who had in his heart, in his mind, and in his eternal plan to prepare a wedding banquet to his son, Jesus, who will die for us on the cross, brothers and sisters. And that is why from the beginning, it has been all about his son. Brothers and sisters, from the beginning, because through him, God created everything. Everything according to the image of his son. In his own image, he created us. We are created in the image of Jesus, Messiah, God. We are created in the image of God. Why does it say God? Because Jesus is God. We are created in the image of his son. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, God. And so our whole life, just like the life of Jesus, it is to please the Father. That's why Jesus taught us to do the will of the Father. Now, what the Lord was revealing to me was that why did the Lord start different in Genesis chapter 2? It's because, hallelujah, God began a relationship with man in the garden. The garden is also a representation of the wedding. It blew my mind when the Lord began to help me to understand this here yesterday, that the garden was also a representation of the wedding with the Lord. That what God was doing in the garden represented also the wedding of Jesus. Because when Adam was asleep, hallelujah, which we are advised by the Apostle Paul not to be asleep before the day comes, brothers and sisters, the day of the wedding, the day of the celebration, when Jesus comes for us not to be asleep. Adam was asleep when the Lord made the woman. It will be in this timing when God will be making us asleep. It's a type of the night, I'm not going to say darkness, but I also include darkness because we know there's evil in the world. We know the devil, his demons are going about, up and down, doing evil. So God and the sleeping of Adam represented the world asleep. But in that timing, the bride will be prepared. The bride will be taken out of the world. As Adam was asleep today, the world is asleep. Adam was asleep, and God made women out of Adam while he was asleep. When Adam opened his eyes, he saw Eve, brothers and sisters. He saw this naked woman before him, brothers and sisters, as we, the bride of Christ, are naked before God, because nothing is hidden in the eyes of God. Eve was naked before Adam when he opened his eyes. The church is naked before the Father today. This is why we need to open our eyes in the timing that we're living, brothers and sisters, because this is the timing when God took Eve out of Adam. He was asleep. The world is asleep, but the bride of Christ cannot be asleep, because we are being formed. We're being deformed into the image of the Messiah, obedient to the Father, always seeking to do the will of the Father. That is preaching the gospel, seeking God through repentance of all time, every day. Every day the Lord sought to please the Father while he was on earth. And when he went to the Mount of Gethsemane, it was not a mount, it was a place. He prayed, Father, if thy will be passed this cup from me, he says, brothers and sisters, how many of us don't want to continue on anymore because it is hard? But it's through our perseverance that we are going to overcome, the word of God says, brothers and sisters. In other words, it is waiting upon the Lord. Messiah have to wait upon the Lord, taught us to wait upon the Lord. While he was there, he said, but now my will be done, thy will be done, brothers and sisters. I heard a pastor said that if God would have passed a cup from Jesus, man, we all would have been doomed. Hallelujah, because he took on himself our sin, brothers and sisters, according to Isaiah 53, our suffering, hallelujah, our payment. He took it upon himself and died for us, brothers and sisters. And that cross, thank God for that. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So Genesis chapter 2 began God to mention about the creation of man, when God made man. Hallelujah. So the heaven and the earth were finished and all the hosts of them. You know that the word host is the word entertain, the one that will entertain God. All the hosts that will entertain God, the worshiping, the seraphim. Well, how do we know are the seraphim? Because Revelation said that they worship God day and night. To God finish the seraphim, when God finished the heaven, he finished the host. He finished the entertain, the worshiping. Brothers and sisters, he finished the worshiping of heaven first. Hallelujah. And as I researched that word host, I was blown away. Shalom, Sister Sunshine. Because I said, wow, the entertain. And the seventh day God ended his work. So still God, when he finished the host of heaven, hallelujah. Other one says the army, and it's not the army. It was actually the worshiping, the entertain of heaven. Hallelujah. And in the seventh day God ended his work, brothers and sisters, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his works which he had made. Thank you, Lord. I was talking to my little one, Joshua, today in the car. Hallelujah. How God is always watching over us, and that God is watching us every day. And my son, he's 5 years old. He says, so God never rests, Daddy, he says to me. So God never rests. And I thought it was so funny in a way, because we are called to come and enter into the rest of the Lord. And I said, no, he's always resting. That's why he always has so much power. I said to my son, Joshua. At the same time, I was laughing, but at the same time, it brought a new meaning to me. Because I had trouble for days resting, sleeping. Never been able to sleep But this morning, and I noticed that I didn't have much energy. I was very tired, brothers and sisters. And so when we rest, we have a lot of energy. We're not tired when we rest. And so I'm thinking that God had called us to enter into his rest. And I told my little one that God is always resting. That's why he's so powerful. I said to my son, and we are called to enter his rest. Thank you, Lord. Because he said, if God is always watching us every day, then God never rests, he says. And I thought that was so entertaining. 5 years old, he asked this question. Thank you, Lord. Verse 3. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified, because he had rested from all his works which God created and made. And so some people may say, so even God needed rest. Imagine us, if the Bible said God rested, that means God needed rest. Not necessarily, brothers and sisters, God needed rest. I believe God established rest to teach us to rest, or to teach us creation that we need to rest. Brothers and sisters, I don't think that God needs rest, because the Bible says he's the Almighty, he's all-powerful. I believe he established rest to teach us, because when Jesus was asked about the Sabbath, hallelujah, the Sabbath was created for us, he said. So the rest was created for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. So he created the Sabbath before he created man. So the Sabbath, the rest, was made for us. Praise the Lord. Some people say, nah, man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. And so the Jewish people said, that's why we have to keep the Sabbath, because the Sabbath was made before man. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. So he rested from all his work. So God means to teach us that we need to rest from all of our work. Some people rest from certain things, but not from all things. And even the good things will get you tired. Haven't you noticed that even the good things will get you tired? So we always need rest, even from the things we don't. Shalom, Brother Miguel. Even from the things we don't know, we don't understand, or we don't usually rest from, brothers and sisters. Praise the Lord. So even the good things will make us tired. Imagine the bad. Everything will make us tired, not just work. Even when we're not working and we're doing something else, which we don't call work, can make you tired. God help us. Amen. Verse 4. And this is the other part of Genesis 2:4 that caught my attention, and I'm going to explain to you why. These are the generation of the heaven and the earth when they were created, and the day the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Here's how the word of God says that, hallelujah, heaven, shalom, Brother Miguel, yes. Heaven has a generation. Earth has a generation. What is God trying to teach us? Well, the word generation, according to the dictionary, hallelujah, praise the Lord, a generation it are the people born and living about at the same time, regarded or collectively. One of his generation finding, I'm trying to read the meaning of a revelation in the dictionary, but it's of all the people born and living about. It's basically what it's saying. All everything that it has been made, that God made, everything that God created in heaven, everything has a generation. And I never seen in the thought about this way, brothers and sisters, that you have a generation of angel, archangel, cherub, seraphim, because it says generation, and generation is what comes out of them, or what comes after them. So every angel, every creature in heaven has a generation. As man down here, everyone has a generation. I'm going to show you in the Bible the different generation that we have from the beginning, which is it just, when you study the word and you begin to see these things, it helps you understand, hallelujah, so much. Like in Genesis 5:1, this is the book of the generation of Adam. In the day that God created man in the likeness of God, he made him. Adam had a generation. Adam had people born after him. He died, but his generation continued. So there were people that came out of Adam that was just like him, that looked like him, that acted like him, that spoke like him, that thought like him, a generation that came. So it's the same with angels in heaven, which I never thought about this, never considered this until I studied this in the Word. Everything has a generation, brothers and sisters, and that is created in the likeness of it, the Bible says. Is what the generation is. Creation and the likeness. We see it in Genesis 6:9. These are the generation of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. Mm. Notice how everyone of the father of this generation had a likeness to God. Adam was in the likeness of God. Noah walked with God. They each had a quality of God. I don't know if you can see or notice this. They each had a quality. Adam looked like God. Noah walked with God. So Adam, with his likeness, was almost completely like, or was completely like God. But Noah walked with God. Hallelujah. David had the heart of God. Notice that each part of God, the hand, the feet, the heart, the face, relationship is all out through from Genesis to the book of Revelation. Each one of the generation is a part of God. The hand, the feet, the finger, the eye, the hair. Brothers and sisters, the Nazarene had the hair. Jesus' hair comes from the Nazarene. Brothers and sisters, isn't that? Think about that one. Jesus' hair comes from the Nazarene. The hair of God, the Nazarene heart, the hair of God, brothers and sisters. Isn't that incredible? Thank you, Lord. So God is distributing himself over the earth through all the generation. On the earth, we find God over the generation in pieces. There's a piece of God in you right now. Do you know what piece of God is in you? Is it the nose? Is it your hand? Is it the feet? Is it the finger? Is it the mouth? Is it the eye? What piece of God is in your life, brothers and sisters? Praise your Lord. And it might be the stronger piece that is in your life. Thank you, Lord. The stronger piece of God, hallelujah, the stronger part in your life must be the godly part. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. God is so awesome. Anything we need to know is in his word. And I go through the word and I see these things. And then I marvel. I say, my goodness. Thank you, Lord. We have so much question and it's all in the word of God. Genesis 10:1. Now these are the generation of the sons of Noah. Shem, Ham, and Shem, unto them were sons born unto the flood. So we know these are the ones that came out of the flood. Genesis 10:32, these are the family of the sons of Noah. According to their generation and their nation, by these were the nation divided on the earth after the flood. So Jesus said that this generation will be like the generation of Noah. They got divided. You know that they got divided after the flood? The devil brought division among them, brothers and sisters. Listen to this. The devil brought division among Shalom in there. The devil brought division among the sons of Noah from Genesis 10:32. These generations are like the generation of the son of Noah. Division. Boy, do we have division in the last days. There is that division, brothers and sisters, that it's hard to get along with people in these last days. The more you seek to get along with people, sometimes the harder it is. And you just have to leave it up to the Lord and pray for them, brothers and sisters. But this Bible says, Jesus said in Luke 17, that this generation will be like the generation of Noah. And the generation of Noah divided themselves after they came out of the ark and God began to bless them and they began to multiply, brothers and sisters. The word of God came on them. The blessing of God was on their life. and having all the blessing from God, instead of coming together as a people, as one, they began to be divided. They began to argue. They could not get along anymore. This truly is the generation of Noah. I can truly see it in just what happened under the generation of Noah. And Jesus said that this generation, the last generation, will be like the generation of Noah. So this is why the division is still among us, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. And I believe part of the division is because not everyone in the division are of God. They're demons and bodies today. I was listening to someone talking about this topic, saying he said he got stopped by a police officer, and the police officer said to him that he had a bad light. One of his rear light was out, and he stopped him and took him out of his car and began to talk to him. And he said after the police officer began to talk to him, he said the police officer had these black eyes. He was very tall, very big, but his eyes were very, very black. He was like he was talking to a principality. That's how his life looked, he says. And he thought it was very strange. He thought it was very strange that he looked this way, and he didn't even look human, he said. So he went to the mechanic to fix his light. When he went to the mechanic shop, the mechanic went through the light. The light was fine. There was nothing wrong with the light. And what it was is he's writing a Christian's book about God, about evangelizing people. He's been working on this book and decided to go about for a small trip. And immediately when he go through this town, unknown town, he gets stopped by this police officer, and the police officer was a demon in the flesh, he said. And he went back to study. He went back home after the mechanic checked his light and said, no, your light is fine. I don't know what the police officer is talking about. There's nothing wrong with your light, because he told him a police officer stopped him and gave him a warning, okay? And there was nothing wrong with the light. The shop checked the light. Everything was fine with the light. And then he began to, he kept, in the back of his mind, he kept thinking about the eyes of this police officer. Went back home, back to his Bible study, and when he got back into the Bible, he said that God began to show him about this principality in the flesh, demon in the flesh, brothers and sisters. And I was laughing about it because I said, I've been talking about this on the Lord's Hour. And all the people have to do is tune in and go back and hear the information I have given from the Word of God. But this is truly a reality. Hallelujah. And now God has been revealing this to his people. And now people are realizing that we have demons in the flesh among us. And he has all kinds of questions about this. The more he goes into the Word and study these things, the more revelation he gets of all these things. That this is a reality for the last day, that even as in the Word, we're being told in the Word that we will see these things in the last day. One of the Bible verses he uses is that there will be many antichrists in the last day. It blew him out of his mind when he read that John said there will be many antichrists in the last day. And he's not talking about just one antichrist. He's talking about many. Now listen to this. I go to Genesis. Listen to the coincidence in the Word. We find so many of these coincidences in the Word. I tell people coincidence because I don't directly don't want to tell them what it is, because I've been doing it for many years. So I have to give them the Bible study and help them understand through the Word. Praise the Lord. Now, God gave Abraham the circumcision, brothers and sisters, to circumcise everyone in his house, including the stranger, hallelujah, everyone he bought, the slave he bought, to circumcise them on the eighth day. You know what that circumcision mean in regard to the rapture and the bride of Christ? Being separated from the world, a separated generation from the world, different than anybody else. So when God talks about the enemy, or when they will talk about the enemy, they will call them as uncircumcised. uncircumcised like this. When David said, this uncircumcised Philistine, hallelujah, talking about Goliath. So he refers to them to being uncircumcised because the circumcision was God, I gave it to them to let them know that it meant that they were separated from the world, brothers and sisters. They were different than anybody else will be uncircumcised, and that those that would do evil, they were able to recognize them and see who they were. So when John said that in the last day there will be many antichrists, he's talking about demon in the flesh. And when he studied what he referred to antichrist, it was like when Jesus was born through Mary and became a man on the flesh. It was God on the flesh. So the antichrist, which is evil, is different from Christ, but is evil of the devil. What mean? What it means? Man in the flesh, there will be demon or principality. That's exactly what it meant. Brothers and sisters, and the flesh, and the flesh, antichrist, demons, and the flesh. That's what it will be, and they will be born through women. So not just one antichrist that we talk about, we're talking about many antichrists, many being born in the flesh. And I'm listening to him, and he's writing this book, and I said, oh, wow, his information is very good. I think it's very good. Because if you compare to how the life of Christ, how he was born and all that, he was born for God. The devil had also wanted to have his sons, antichrist. As John said, there will be many antichrists in the last day. It leads you to know and understand clearly that he was talking about demon and principality being born in the flesh, and that the devil will be using them. God used his son Jesus to spread the gospel of the good news. The devil will be used as antichrist to spread his evil of the lies and the bad news, brothers and sisters. And that's what we see a lot today. But John said that there will be many, 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 many antichrists. Now, when I go back to Genesis, I began to study the 12 tribes, brothers and sisters, the 12, let me read it in a word for you. So you see what I'm talking about. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Remember, hallelujah, amen. I may go there. I may go there. I don't like to talk about the Illuminati and the Mason, but a lot of the information lead to that. It just lead to that information. Thank you, Lord. So the circumcision is Genesis 17. Praise the Lord. But then in Genesis, after God gives the circumcision to Abraham, then God says in verse 18, and Abraham said unto God, all that Ishmael might live before thee. So, you know, at this time when God gives him the separation for Isaac, God is giving in Genesis chapter 17, he's giving Abraham the separation that he will be a separated nation from among the earth. He's talking about a special people, which the bride of Christ comes out of that. Brothers and sisters. But Abraham at this moment did not understand what God meant. And the Bible said in verse 17 of Genesis 17, brothers and sisters, that then Abraham, verse 17, fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, sure, a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear. Look at the question that Abraham had. And these are normal questions. This is you and I today asking about this mystery that we don't understand. This, to Abraham, this is a mystery of God, a mystery of God. But because God gave him the circumcision, and Abraham went and circumcised everyone in his household, everyone, including his slave. Verse 19, and Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Look what Abraham is doing. He's interceding for Ishmael, brothers and sisters. Ishmael. And Ishmael has his part in the last day that many people don't know about or may have no idea. Well, you're going to learn some tonight. What does Ishmael has to do with Bible prophecy in the last days, brothers and sisters? And you're going to see how awesome this is. Thank you, Lord. So there he's interceding for Ishmael. And at this point, of the generation of Abraham is being separated after the circumcision, brothers and sisters. As the bride has been separated also, which is pointing to the bride. Now, verse 19, listen to this. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, should bear thee a son in thee, truthfully. Okay? And thou should call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Okay? So God was not working. Okay? God is not talking about Ishmael at this moment. He's going to talk to him about Ishmael. But at this moment, it's the bride. It is the elect, the selected people separated, that God separated unto himself from the beginning. That's the focus of God at this moment. At this moment, now Abraham began to understand the plan of God. Plan of God. God has his plan in his word. And that's what a lot of people don't understand, the plan of God. And we can understand the plan of God through the word of God and through his revelation. Many people know the word, but don't understand the plan through the word, which is different. It's very different. Verse 20 now. Verse 20. And as for Ishmael, God is still speaking to him. I have heard thee. So the intercession that Abraham is making for Ishmael, God has heard it. But God did not want Abraham to be confused with the separation of the circumcision of his people, which is a type of the bride of Christ, brothers and sisters, to the different people that are in the world, because everyone is different in regard to this calling, because the calling of God, God have elected, selected us for his plan and for his purpose. And we are not born of blood or the world of blood. John 1 says that. But of the will of God. God will you and I to be born for the purpose to be raptured, to be the bride of Christ. We have been elected, selected since before the foundation of the earth to be the bride of Christ, brothers and sisters. The Lord reminded this to me in heaven. Hallelujah. Last week, brothers and sisters, that is the plan of the Father for your life and for my life. This is why you need to be careful that you don't get confused with everybody else. Because we are the bride of Christ, and we are different. We are elected, selected. Hallelujah. 20, and for Ishmael I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly, exceedingly. So the plan of God there is that he made his son, his good son, comes out of the good and evil, Jesus said. Comes out for everyone. The son comes out every morning for everyone. Not just for the Jewish people, but for everyone. Or for the elected, selected, but for everyone. Amen. God is good and God is merciful. Now, listen to what he says in Genesis 20, 19:20. 12 princes should he beget. Now, I researched that word beget, and is being born of him or proceeded out of him. 12 princes will proceed out of him now. 12 princes. Now, look how princess is being used, okay? You need to be a prince to become a king. A prince, hallelujah, it's like in the beginning, it's a process, okay? Now, hallelujah, the process is that they have been selected, elected. Now, these 12 princesses, are going to come out of Ishmael, brothers and sisters, according to God, okay? That means that they will be in the rule of power. He calls them princesses. Look at that. He doesn't say 12 sons and daughters, okay? He said 12 princesses will be born out of him. 12 princesses will be born out of him, out of Ishmael. And I will make him a great nation. Make him a great nation. So each of these princesses will be leading in the last day 12 nations. Now, when we go to Revelation 13 now, listen to this. Revelation 13, listen to this. 12, okay, 12. Verse 13, Revelation 13, 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, says John in the revelation of the Lord. And I saw a beast rise out of the sea. Remember that the beast is a man. But he sees it as a beast, having seven head and 10 horn. Upon the horn, 10 crown, and upon his head, the name of blasphemy. Now, the crowns are the one that are going to be put upon the head of who? Who are crowned are put upon the head? Upon the head of king. Since the old days, brothers and sisters, since the old days, crowns are be put on the head of kings. So these crowns are ready to be put on the hand of the head of someone. But look how it says 10 crown. It doesn't say 12 crown. Okay? Because in the 10 crown, the beast is one of them. And then, as we read verse 11 of Revelation 13, from the sea comes out, from the ground, I'm sorry, comes out another beast. So the ten crown plus the two beasts, that makes it clearly the 12 king that are going to come about in the great tribulation, brothers and sisters. Okay, they are going to be established through nation, according to Genesis 12:20. 12 princesses will be in the last day. The 12 princesses that are going to be established will come out of 12 nations. I will make them a great nations. These nations are established today. Some of the people that have gone back to the 12 sons of Ishmael have looked at the nation that they are today, and there are 12 nations today established, brothers and sisters. 12 nations that are established today that are the 12 nations that are against the Jewish people today. Brothers and sisters, there are 12 mighty nations that are established that are against the nation of Israel from becoming a nation. They are against them from the embassy being moved to Jerusalem. They have established themselves in history of the enemy of the Jewish people. Brothers and sisters, have come against them and have killed many Jews for many years. Praise your Lord. Praise your God. Thank you, Lord. This is why, brothers and sisters, it's so good to study the Word of God. Because as you study the Word, you begin to understand end-time prophecy, end-time event, and why are these nations constantly coming against the Jewish people. And it's because right from the beginning, they have been established. You see that the devil doesn't establish anyone. It is God. It is God that has the power to establish a nation, a prince. The devil does not have that power, brothers and sisters. Now, why do we read now that the Bible says in Revelation 13:1, okay, that the beast rises out of the sea having 7 heads, 10 horns, upon his own 10 crown, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. Now, blasphemy, hallelujah, we know of the word that is them that will say anything against God, his throne, Jerusalem, or his, right through the Bible, that will say anything. Thank you, Lord. That will say amen for that. That will say anything against God. That's a blasphemy. Okay? And let me go ahead and give you the dictionary meaning of it. Praise you, Lord. I like to do that because it helps people understand that when we explain something, praise you, Lord. Here it is. Blasphemy, the act of an offense of speaking sacrilegious about God and secret things. There you go. Profane talk. Okay? Profane talk. Now, that blasphemy also is also referred to evil talk. Evil talk against God. And there's a lot of blasphemy on television today. There's a lot of blasphemy coming out of Hollywood today against God, against his word, against the church, against Israel. When nations speak against Israel, that's also considered blasphemy. It's also considered blasphemy. A lot of people don't know. That's why you have to be very careful what you say against the Jewish people. If you don't understand something, go to the Word, go into prayer, ask God to lead you and help you understand. Because there are Christians today that are against Israel, and that is so wrong. That is a blasphemy. They don't even know that, brothers and sisters. That is a blasphemy, a blasphemous speaking against God in Jerusalem and Israel. Because remember this, I was listening to a rabbi who had converted himself to Jesus, to Messiah Jesus. He's messianic. And he was saying, he's writing a book. He was saying something so awesome. I was listening to something he was saying.
And he says, why is the enemy, Satan, coming against the Jewish people? First of all, he was the city in Jerusalem. It was in Jerusalem that he wanted to gain his put up his throne up in the mountain. And God threw him down. He was defeated in Jerusalem. And it's going to be in Jerusalem where the Antichrist is going to be defeated. And again, Jerusalem, he's making war in his battle against God, brothers and sisters, and the Jewish people. Because he was defeated at the cross in Jerusalem. And I was like, wow, that is powerful. The devil was defeated in Jerusalem at the cross. That's what Jesus defeated all demon, no power, no principality. Hallelujah. But 2,000 years ago, and I wasn't thinking about that. But that was so awesome to hear that. Praise your Lord. He was defeated in Jerusalem. And that's why he wants to conquer Jerusalem, because that's where he was defeated, brothers and sisters. And I said, wow, that is so awesome. See, it's so much. It's so much in the Word of God that we can study. So 12 princes are going to come. Now, I went to Google, and when I started putting about the 12 princes, you know what Google gave me? The 12 princes of Islam. Let me give it to you exactly how Google gave it to me. I was stunned. Because this is what Google gave to me. I'm making my study. I'm going to get the meaning online. And when I put it, immediately Google gives me the 12 princes of Islam. 12 princes of Islam. Okay? Those are the 12 princes that in Islam that they teach to themselves. They're looking to establish. They're looking to the kingdom. Their kingdom of all the Islamic belief is to establish the 12 princes of Islam. And I was stunned. I'm saying, this is not a coincidence. I got to share this. This is not a coincidence, because I put it on. I'm typing to get more information, and it gives me the 12 princes of Islam. Immediately, boom, I'm like, wow. That is incredible. Okay. And then I found a study about it, and there's someone who did a study about this, going back to Genesis, and coming back to our days. And to start, we must begin isolating the 12 sons by the name. These are the name of the son of Ishmael, by their name, according to their generation, firstborn of Ishmael, Navajo, Kedar, of Bel, Mishan, Mishma, Dumas, Mesa, Hadar, Tema, and Yathud. All these are all over the Bible. I couldn't find much information. What I did find was, again, I had to study this more. I found Kedar. Kedar is in Isaiah 67. Now, I've known Isaiah 67 for a long time, okay? Because when I did a Bible study about the Great Tribulation many years ago, and it led me to Isaiah 60, okay? Now, I'm going to go to Isaiah 60 now, okay, before I get to the verse 7. And I'm going to read what it says there. Well, I got all these pages open in regard to the beast, the Antichrist in the last day. And it's incredible. It is incredible, all the information that you can find, brothers and sisters. Isaiah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We are in the last day. Praise you, Lord. Isaiah 60. Now, Isaiah 60 says, arise and shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord, it is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be risen upon thee. What is he talking about here? Well, actually, what he's talking about here is Revelation 19, when the Messiah comes with all his army in his glory, brothers and sisters. That's what he's talking about. That's Messiah Jesus coming with all his army. Okay? At this time, when he's come, before he comes, the earth, the darkness, the evil is covering the whole earth, brothers and sisters, because it's a seven-time year great tribulation. 7 times years, Now, where does the seven-year great tribulation comes out?